Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I'm going to ask you a question as we get ready to read this. What you thinking about? What you thinking about? It's a good question to ask. You know, you're going to listen to me preach right now for 28 and a half minutes, including the introduction and the sign-off, or the outro, some people call it. And in that 28 and a half minutes, your mind is going to flash through a variety of thoughts, but it is not going to hold entirely to everything that I'm saying in this broadcast, just the way the human mind works. It's so hard for the mind to concentrate totally and absolutely on one thing when the eyes are open. And even when the eyes are closed, that mind wants to wander so much. So what you thinking about? Well, watch this. Philippians 4:8 says this is what we ought to be thinking about right here. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now that's a command. Think on these things. What? The things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Six things. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Now just go back through your head for about the last 24 hours, the last 48 hours, and see how much time was on those six things. Oh, that mind. How rarely it's thinking about the stuff God wants us to think about. We just have to develop that habit of thinking about the right things, and it's just a torment to the flesh to do it. Of course, you and I can claim 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6, which you might want to take a look at later. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 6. We might want to claim that for that old stuff in the past, and you can eliminate the images that feed a wicked imagination now. Like a lot of the stuff that's on television, a lot of the stuff that's in the movie. But that's not the gist of this text. It's not so much about having the Lord Jesus Christ taking the thoughts into captivity that are challenging the knowledge of God and trying to overthrow it, and not so much about those things that are coming into the eye, like David said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. It's about what's occupying your mind. And being sure, not so much what to leave out, but what to put in there. Paul says, think on these things. And of course, not many people think about much anyway. Not these days. For one thing, we don't have the time. Years ago, people had the time. By the time the sun got up, they had been a little bit into their chores. They worked all day. Evening came. They had their supper, washed the dishes, and then they sat down and they talked and they thought and they considered things. We used to call that cogitating. As a matter of fact, the word is in the Bible. Daniel's cogitations about a particular matter. Had time to think. Today we don't have time to think. By the time you can settle down, you're making lists in your head about all the things that you still have left to do, because this whole world goes lickety-split. And by the time you do have time to think, you are so mentally exhausted from all the things you have been thinking about during the day that you don't want to think. And that's the other problem today is amusements. See, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but people love amusements. They like these video games, and they like amusement parks, and they like sporting events and things like that. Amusements. Amusements, the very word is the opposite of thinking. To muse is to think and consider a thing. To amuse is to turn it off, quit thinking altogether. And so when Paul says, think on these things, when are you going to have the time to do it? And when are you, when you're, you know, finally decide that you do have some time, when are you not going to be amused, where you basically put the old mind in neutral and let somebody else just feed it? That's what television is. Television is a horrible waste of time. You get over there and turn that thing on for about 2 or 3 hours, and they're feeding you what they want you to see and what they want you to think about, and they're not really going to give you time to think about it. They're just going to give you their opinion and their thought on a particular matter, and you're going to have to sit there and listen to it. And pretty soon you find yourself regurgitating what you heard based on whether you liked it more than what you liked the other guy had to say. So if you want real praise, that's what Paul said here, if there be any praise, then you're going to have to get your mind on the one who you are praising, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to get your mind on them. If you're going to have any real praise, the very idea of people spending 6 days a week consumed in covetousness, consumed in idolatry, consumed in lust, consumed in work, consumed in play, and then all of a sudden they're going to show up for a two-hour service at their church and spend an hour and 15 minutes in what's called a praise and worship service so they can get their mind back on the Lord Jesus Christ. You really wonder and question whether there's really any praise going on. There's no doubt a good feeling associated with it in the flesh, because that's why people are doing it and responding to it. And they're getting their mind on their conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then to go away from that and then continue in praise for the rest of the week with all that other stuff in your mind, not hardly. Not hardly. And he says, if you want real virtue, what is virtue? Well, it's a clean life, clean living, and it's also power. You know, when the woman touched the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ and she was healed, Jesus turned about to see who it was that touched him, and he says but that he perceived that virtue had gone out of him. Power, if you look it up. Power from clean living. And there's certainly a lot of in that. You don't weaken yourself so much with despicable thoughts and despicable conduct and so forth like that. So if you want real praise and you want real virtue, then you're going to have to fill your mind with these six things that are here in the text. The things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, and the things that are of good report. Well, what's true? That's the first thing on the list, and we're supposed to be thinking about that. What's true? Well, John 17:17 is true. Jesus Christ is praying to his Father, and he says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is what? Truth. Truth. If you want to know the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, go to the Bible. Now, a guy will go into a witness stand and say, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and then he'll lie. I watched a fellow in a court case that I was involved in years ago perjure himself, and it was documented by evidence that he had perjured himself 27 times during that trial. And I asked our attorney, I said, who brings a cause of perjury against the guy? He said, well, the state does. I said, well, why aren't they going to bring a cause of perjury against him? And they said, well, there's no need. Everybody just knows and accepts that when a person gets in the witness stand, they are going to lie to put forth their side of the story. Well, then what's the time? What's the use of getting there and saying, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If everybody already believes and understands that the lawyers and the witnesses are going to lie in order to get by with one side or the other, what's the use in that? There is no use in that. There's no truth in that. There's no use in the oath if everybody has that opinion. Now, I'm pretty sure everybody doesn't have that opinion, but you know, that's what the attorneys have told me. Psalm 1, and, you know, of course, Jesus Christ gave the attorneys downtown Charlie Brown when he had them around there, same way he did with the Pharisees. The word, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So, it ain't going to happen with the word of God if you're constantly correcting the Bible. You know, we've taken a real strong stand that the King James Bible is the word of God, and ask people to show us where there's an error in the book. And people all say, well, I'd believe it, but there's errors in it. And I say, show me one. Well, they can't. And when they do show what they think is a contradiction in the Bible, they're regurgitating something somebody else showed them. They didn't find it on their own. And when somebody showed that perceived or whatever error, you can easily take a King James Bible and show them, you know, right here is the answer, cross-referencing Scripture with Scripture, and it's not an error. It's not a contradiction. Nobody in nearly 400 years of trying has found one yet. Not one provable. There are a bunch of apparent contradictions, but God leaves that stuff in there to force you to have to study it out and check it out for yourself. So how are you going to know that this is the truth if you're constantly correcting it? I can't stand to listen to a preacher in the pulpit that says, but a better translation is. Well, then you just told your people not to trust the very book that they have in their hand. They got to trust you. Well, I'm not going to meditate on you, and I don't recommend that you meditate on a preacher either. That's not the truth. The man is flesh. He's prone to make a mistake. He's prone to sin. He's prone to lie, and they have. Look, he said, think on the truth. Think on things that are true. Well, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, then, think on Jesus Christ. Now, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Do you really think about him a long time? And what do you consider about him? Do you know what he looks like? Do you know where he is? Do you know what he's doing? Do you know what he's taking care of right now? Do you know what his concerns are now? You ought to think about those things. Men who are called in the military had time to go away overseas and fight for a year or two, maybe longer. You know what they were doing while they were there? Much of the time they were thinking about their families and thinking about their wives. They kept their pictures with them. They wrote letters to them. They read the letters, the whole thing. They were very excited when they heard back from home. You know what they were doing? They were thinking about somebody that they were apart from. You and I are apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to, what do they say? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. That ought to compel us to think and think about him more. Okay, think about things that are true. All right, now he says, whatsoever things are honest. You're going to think about the honest things. Well, what does honest mean anyway? Well, honest means free from fraud or deception. It means legitimate, truthful, virtuous, and reputable, praiseworthy, upright. These are some of the definitions that you'll find in a Webster's New International Dictionary. Honest, free from fraud or deception. Now, do you realize how few things there are in the earth that are really honest today? A guy finds a fossil and he says, honestly, this thing is 2 billion years old. It's conjecture. A man finds a skull that's deformed and he says, this is one of the earliest men, 4 billion years old. It's not honest. Do you realize how few things are really honest today? Now, the honest things are the things that you need to think about, but those things that are really not honest today are the things that just plague your mind. They disappoint you. They eat at you. You go around saying to yourself, I can't imagine that so-and-so did that. And see what you just said? I'm thinking about it. I can't imagine it means that you're toying with the thing in your head. It's conjecture that's occupying the minds of Americans today. It's gossip. It's supposition. People go around and say, well, I thought. You know what I have found a lot of people doing today? They have cooked up in their imagination the way they believe and perceive that somebody else is thinking about them, and then they go about reacting to that when, in fact, the person that they think is thinking that way about them is not thinking that way about them at all. At all. It's just a perception. It's a thought, a supposition. And so they're being very reactionary to things that are not true and therefore things that are not honest. You know something? People are not honest with themselves when they're getting ready to do something. For instance, a person says, do you love me? He says, oh, yeah, I love you. But he's not being honest in that he really doesn't love them. He would like to love them, but he doesn't. And so what he's struggling with is the fact that he is lying about the way he feels about them because he doesn't want them to be offended, and he's trying to cultivate a love relationship with them, and yet at the same time they're depending on the fact that he does love them, and when he does something stupid to prove that he doesn't love them, you talk about confusion. Man, it's no wonder that people are getting so busted up in their relationships. Friendships and marriages are falling apart all over the place. People are not honest with themselves. Somebody's a drunk. And the family member gets very concerned and says, you need to go and get help. And they say, what do I need help for? I'm not a drunk. They're not honest with themselves. Their drinking is totally out of control. They lie and pretend and put on another face. And consequently, they're totally and absolutely confused. The minds of people are being destroyed today because they just will not be honest and face the facts and say, this is what I am thinking. This is what I feel about you. They're not being honest. Look, I'll tell you some things else that are not honest. Mary and saints answering prayers, that's not honest. There's no evidence of that in the Bible. Santa Claus, that's not honest. You're not being honest with your children when you say, let's have Santa Claus. Let's do these things. That's not honest. I was preaching on the street one time outside of the Alamo, and a lady went hysterical when I preached that there wasn't a Santa Claus. I mean, it was just a very small part of a big sermon concerning Jesus Christ, and there was a Christmas tree there. I said, well, Christ died on the tree. There's presents under the tree. I said, the greatest gift that was ever given to men is the gift of Jesus Christ to this world, and so forth, you know, along those lines. And I said, and by the way, there's no Santa Claus. She went hysterical. Well, she wasn't being honest. I was. She wasn't. She wasn't being honest with her children. She got offended. It's not honest to say that December the 21st is Jesus' birthday. It's not. And December the 25th was Baal's birthday, and today it is a commercial mockery of covetousness and idolatry against the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, well, I don't think that we ought to have nativity scenes on the courthouse square because that's a violation of church and state. Most of what goes on with Christmas is a violation of church. I mean, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's ridiculous. It is just an opportunity for businesses at the end of the year to make plenty of money. A good education will solve your problems. That's not honest. A good education will help you get a good job sometimes, but it's not going to solve your problems. We evolved. That's not honest. There's nothing honest about that. Evolution is supposed to be scientifically demonstrable, and it's not. Nothing about the links and missing links and so forth like that can be demonstrated concerning evolution. Things getting better cannot be demonstrated. So it's not scientific. It's a theory. It's not honest. We can have world peace. That's not honest. You can't have world peace. Not without the Lord Jesus Christ. We can end terrorism. Well, you might want to bust your enemies, but you can't end terrorism. It's not possible. Safe sex is okay. That's not honest. Don't even bother to occupy your mind with those things. That is not honest. No way. Safe sex is not okay. Now, how much of just those little things that I mentioned right there consume your thoughts and so forth? How much of your time, how much of your thought process is consumed with all of that? A lot, given the times of year. Listen, he said whatsoever things were honest. Well, all right, let's talk honestly for just a minute. The way to have safe sex is for a male virgin to get with a female virgin and to stay together forever. That's honest. Don't even think about the other way. Don't even think that it's possible for anybody to do it any other way. Don't even think about it. It's not possible. Don't even consider it. No way in the world. Don't even consider it. You may get lucky, but we're talking honestly, Leo. All right? The worst terror in the world is still yet to come. The first will be perpetrated by the devil himself, and the second will be perpetrated by God. So it's not honest to say that we're going to have an end of terrorism. So don't even think about it. You're wasting your time. You got an enemy? Go kill your enemy. But to think you're going to end terrorism, it's not possible. All right, let's be honest. World peace without Jesus Christ is impossible. The only way to have world peace is to have Jesus Christ with him, to have glory to God, to have purity, have righteousness. Don't even think that it's possible to do it any other way. Don't even think that the United Nations is going to be able to bring in world peace. Don't even think about it. It's not possible. Don't even think that your particular candidate is going to be able to bring world peace. He can't. You might as well not even think about it. It's not possible. All right? We were created. That's honest. Don't even think about the possibility of theistic evolution. It's not possible. All right? You pray to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that way you'll get your prayer answer. That's honest. Don't even think about praying to Mary or praying to the saints or praying repetitious prayers like rosaries and hope to get your prayers answered. That is not honest. So don't even think about it. Now you see what happens? When you start talking like Paul laid it out here and he said, be true and be honest. And I've been honest with you now. The things I've told you are absolutely true according to the Word of God. I've been very, very straightforward with you. You know what? It's easy to get offended at what I just said because I've rubbed across one of your gods. Something you thought was so, and I just thumped it, and now all of a sudden you're upset. And you don't like the fact that I said that. You see why people don't want to be true and honest? Because other people get upset when you are truthful and honest. They'd rather lie and flatter and conjecture and suppose and give their opinion, because then all you do is get in a hissy fit, but it's just your opinion against mine, so no big deal. You tell the truth, you come straight out and be totally and absolutely honest, and you know what? People really, really get upset these days. That's why they don't like good biblical sound doctrine. They get upset with it. So people don't want to think about this stuff. But I'm going to tell you something, if you're going to have any real praise, if you're going to have any real virtue, you're going to have to think about these things. It's a command from Paul the Apostle to the saints. He said, think about things that are just. Well, what is just? It's having a basis in fact, not in conjecture. It's righteous before God, and you have to be judged righteous. It's equitable. That is, the opposite of it is iniquity or sin. Well, you know what? When you say think about things that are just, that eliminates about all the news. That stuff that comes on at 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, most of that stuff is alleged to be this. The opinion of so-and-so about this. But to lay it down and say this is absolutely the fact, that's rarely the case. That's rarely the case. There are certain things that they can establish. In fact, after the fact, they can say so-and-so beat so-and-so in a football game. We got so many inches of rain. That's factual. But it's pretty trite, too. Now, God is just. So you think about God, and you think about God's judgment, which are just, and then you fit your life to fit God's judgments, which are just, and hey, things are going to work out all right for you. But you know what the problem with men is? Men won't line up with God. Not in your nature. Not in my nature. You know what men want to do? Men want to justify themselves. And when you do that, you're no longer just. Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." God finds self-justification totally and absolutely abominable. But you know what you're going to do within 24 hours of this message? You're going to pick up the telephone and you're going to call somebody and you're going to tell them why you're right and the other guy was wrong. Hey, Solomon said there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Why waste your time trying to get somebody else to side with you about any issue in life? No sense cooking up schemes in your mind how to justify yourself. Listen, if you got saved, it doesn't make any difference what you did in the past, because now you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, no matter what you did. So there's no sense cooking up a scheme to try to work your way out of it. Prisoners are excellent at this. We'd go to the jail and have our prison ministry and preach over there. These guys would spend their entire time trying to justify themselves. Nobody was guilty. Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek. Certainly there are a lot of men that are honest about the situation. They want to straighten up and do right, but there are a lot of them who weren't. They want to spend all this time trying to get somebody on their side to prove that they were right. Hey, there ain't nobody just. Not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. God is the only judge. He's the only one who is just. You're tearing up your mind to try to convince others how right you are. Why don't you just deal with it justly, okay? Then he says, think on the things that are true. Think on the things that are honest. Think on the things that are just. Now look, just those three right there, and I've eliminated about 95% about what's been messing with your mind here lately. Do you realize that? The other 5% been on the right stuff. You see how, I mean, I'm preaching to myself on this one, man. We got to get our minds on the right stuff. Think on things that are pure. Pure thoughts, well, you're going to have a hard time feeding your eyes with images of the opposite sex that strengthen your lust. You know, the lust of the eyes, and be thinking about pure things. God's words are pure. The words of the Lord are pure words, the Bible says. They're pure, and when you think about those things and read those words and study those words, they'll purify your mind. But who wants to spend that much time thinking about the Bible and reading the Bible? Who has time for that? Well, I tell you what, time is something you make. You better make time for it. You go put in your 8 or 12 hours of the job, you better spend some time in that book. I'd say a good 45 minutes to an hour a day. You say, ooh, that's a long time. Ooh, but you watch what it does to your thoughts. He says, think on things that are pure, and the words of God are pure. Then he says, think on things that are lovely. Well, I cannot think of anybody that is more lovely than the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be the Lord Jesus Christ for sure. And the more you think about the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy and his grace and his power and his goodness, his strength, he is my high tower, my fortress, and all those wonderful things that he does, you know what? You start getting happy. And the Bible says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You need a merry heart, and you'll get a merry heart if you'll think about the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's beautiful. He's righteous. He's holy. He's pure. He's more powerful than any force in the universe. He's lovely, altogether lovely. Think on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just meditate on Him, fellowship with Him. Consume your mind and thoughts with everything you can about the Lord Jesus Christ, His grace, His mercy, His goodness, all the fruit that you get from the Holy Spirit as a result of what Jesus Christ did for you. And then He says, think of things that are good report, good report. Now, the human mind is not impressed at all with a good report. It never has been. It only wants the stuff that are bad. I tell you, there's nothing on this road that can slow you down when you're at a mad dash to get wherever you're going in a hurry, unless it's a wreck with a bunch of busted glass and blood. You're going to stop and look. Why? Because the human mind likes crisis. The human mind likes tragedy. The human mind feeds on scandal and criticism. Your mind is flooded with it in the news daily, newspaper, magazines, radio, television, internet, just flooded with it. Why? Because you love bad news. It's human nature. But you got to meditate on the good report. What's a good report? Well, go to your church and say, somebody stand up and brag on Jesus and tell us something good that God has done. And then just meditate on how good God has been to somebody else. Magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty for the great goodness that they are in other people. And what they are doing in your life, and meditate on the good report and quit feeding yourself with all this scandalous trash. I mean, when all of a sudden Monica Lewinsky was mentioned and it was a trial about Bill Clinton, I mean, everybody got, you know, ooh, whoa, talky, talky. Christians, that's not a good report. It's not for your mind. Think on the things that are true. Think on the things that are honest. Think on the things that are just. Think on the things that are pure. Think on the things that are lovely. Think on the things that are of good report, and you'll have real praise, and you'll have real virtue, and you will fulfill the command that Paul has given to you and me. I hope you can go and do something about this. I know I need to, and I'm going to, by the grace of God. I pray that you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.